Hey everyone, this is Catherine from Millennials in Motion magazine, and this is the 12th episode of Conversations with the Community, and also our first episode of 2020. And today I'm sitting down with Lauren, the Doodling Nomad. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, me too. It's awesome.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Lauren, and I am the designer, owner, everything creator of the Doodling Nomad. Started about 3 years ago, and yeah, I've just always been into art and kind of found this medium that worked really well for me, and I've just been all in. And I'm born and raised in Las Vegas, so it's great.
Fantastic. How do you personally define the word art?
Art is such a broad term, but I kind of just view everything as art, existing as art. I mean, whenever someone tells me, I'm not an artist, oh, you're so creative. And I'm like, you're creative too. Just maybe your creativities are in a different way, you know, like you're really good at accounting. And that's actually pretty creative. That uses your mind and problem solving. And
making art with numbers.
Yeah, totally. So I kind of just view art as life existing, you know?
I feel the same way. Like whenever, you know, you watch a movie, you read a book, yeah. You know, you watch someone talk. Like whether they're putting it or like dance or yeah. Anything, like it's art. You're creating something with your words, with your mind, with your body, whatever.
Yeah, totally. Like just like any form of self-expression, you know.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And what got you into art?
I've kind of been into art my whole life. I don't necessarily know what specifically got me into art. I know like as young as six, like all I wanted for my birthday was like this art kit that I saw at Costco. And I begged my parents and like pleaded with them to buy me this little art kit. It came in like this bin that just had like everything under the sun. And I just remember when I got that, it was like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest gift. And pretty much since then, like I just always was doing art. Doodling, I was, you know, I would write my own short stories and I would illustrate them and I would like keep them like in stacks, like, and for school we'd have projects to do that too. And I would just like, it was like the greatest thing in my life. I would like laminate them and just pretty much ever since I've known, I've just always been art focused in life.
Oh, I feel the same way about a lot of that. When I was in third grade, my teacher would be like, oh, we're going to write stories. And that's what we do every single day in class for like 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. And we would read them in front of the class. And I would do like the whole cover art.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like you said, illustrated, you know, each page.
Yeah, like I remember being in church and like the church I went to growing up had this like little thing on the wall. And it had like the hymn numbers you would sing. And I remember I turned it into like this illustrated little man and I like wrote a bunch of short stories with like this little illustrated man because I would doodle a lot in church because I just would be bored and sitting there and I would just start drawing and I just like created this like little character out of this thing, you know? And so that's kind of, art's just fun in that way, you know?
What's your favorite thing about art?
That it can be anything. You know, you can turn a little sign on the wall into like a character. You can, you know, that has no limits and you can kind of cross a lot of realities with art. And, you know, it doesn't have to be line defined or really anything you're looking at. You can draw a unicorn with a fishtail and make a whole story out of it. You know, like you can do anything.
You don't have to be confined to this little box.
Yeah, yeah. Like you can just do anything with art, which I think is what makes it a really fun thing.
It's always funny how everyone, like, they tell kids, like, think outside the box, but don't color outside the lines.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's got to be, it's conflicting to kids.
Totally. You know, it's like opposite advice, you yeah. know, when really you can, art is anything.
Right. I wish people, or I guess society as a whole, society appreciates art, but a lot of people don't, like, how art is in everything.
Yeah.
People don't see like when an advertisement mm-hmm. can be art. Like that's all marketing, like
totally.
Design and everything, putting those things together. So if I feel like if more people like grasp that concept of how art is in everything, mm-hmm. that we would maybe fund it more, we would yeah. hold it up to this higher, you
yeah
know,
it wouldn't be this like, oh, you're gonna be an artist, okay,
maybe a starving artist. Yeah, a starving how are you gonna artist. Afford to live?
Yeah, you know, like art isn't always just this like colors on a canvas, you know.
Right.
Art is so many things, and it's applied in so many ways, so many jobs, you know, if you're creative, and maybe painting on canvas isn't your thing. Okay, well, where's a career path you could take that uses creativity? Like you said, marketing. There is so much creativity in marketing.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like people noticing that art is everywhere.
Right.
And
or like, look at animation.
Yeah.
Like, that's... like one of in my opinion, like art's like purest forms, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It comes from like, because it has technology, so it comes from like this unnatural yeah. way, but like it allows us to hit this, you know, level of art that, you know, has never been seen before.
Totally. Yeah.
And we get to live while this is happening.
I know, like, know, like right now it's just like there's so many different ways to use a creative skill. That I think that's also why it's important people start to see that art and creativity is everywhere.
It's like almost a defining of our species.
Yeah,
it's,
you know,
what separates us from pretty much every other species.
Oh yeah, because we have that ability to just create out of nothing, and especially now with all this technology, like it's just endless.
Right. Yeah. Like we came from like cave paintings and making like pottery and stuff
yeah.
to what we have now.
And yeah, like all this like 3D. I saw some commercial the other day that it was a woman's face and she looked totally human, right? And it was, they used artificial intelligence and all this fancy computer stuff or whatever to make one face out of hundreds of faces.
Wow.
Or thousands of faces. And it like mashed it all to be this one thing. And like that was such like an interesting, creative thing.
Right.
But that's something that modern technology has brought us to be able to use and have that creative output.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
I know, right? No flying cars yet, but whatever.
I mean, I love where we're at in, I guess, society and technology right now, where we have these art mashups.
Yeah.
You know, like Pokemon with Disney or,
yeah.
you know, whatever. Like,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I love the internet for what it offers, mm-hmm. in that, like, you know, you can go on something and be like, artists out there, please, I need this thing in my head, mm-hmm. make it a thing,
yeah.
and they're just like, I got you, dude, and then it's there and it exists, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
it's alive,
it exists. Yeah, I know. And that's one thing with doing my art, when I'm working with a client or whatever, when I have like a custom work and it's like bringing that thing to life, whatever it may be, and it's like, because my realm is digital for the most part, you know, it's like I'm literally just creating this and just like, and then it's used on all these platforms, and it's just really cool. Yeah,
it's like that's your legacy.
Yeah.
Behind your little piece in the world.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
What is your favorite thing or things to make art of?
Well, I do a lot of my art on my iPad, and that kind of grew because I was traveling a lot, going to Alaska a lot, and it just became this like awesome tool for me to create art on the go. And so, so I guess there's not really a tangible thing I'm making art of, but it's, you know, using my digital skills to create art.
And like use the inspiration from what you're seeing. You said you went to Alaska.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of amazing ideas, as I've seen from your art and your stickers.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much my inspiration is always from nature. Whenever I'm having like a creative lull, I always kind of assess my life and I'm like, I haven't really been outside much lately, or I haven't really just been out in the world much lately, because it's just kind of pulling from that, you know, existence, you know.
I feel that. I've been trying to spend a little bit more time outside,
yeah.
ground myself. Once I like watched the documentary on earthing and learned the legitimate like scientific benefits and aspects of it, I was just like, maybe I should do that. And I have been, and I swear by it. I've been doing it for 2 weeks and it's been
Oh, that's awesome.
Amazing. Sleep's been better. Energy, I have it now, and I haven't had energy in years.
Yeah, I volunteered on a farm in Alaska, or not in Canada, last summer. And that's when I came to the term earthing. And because the woman kept telling me, oh, go pull weeds and get your earthing in. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I did it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, can I pull weeds every day? That was like so therapeutic. Like I just go out in the field and just like pull weeds. And it was just like so relaxing. Right. Just sit in this little patch and pull all the weeds and and get dirty. And
Yeah, be like connected back to those. We don't get enough of that.
No, we don't.
Let's see. What type of art styles or mediums do you work in or prefer to work in?
My iPad. So digital. I'm always trying, though, to, you know, work on my watercolor skills. I have, like, a few stickers that are watercolor designs, but sometimes it comes down to a lot of, like, the mess of things. So, like, sometimes I just love my iPad for the fact that it's so just confined. And when I'm done, I just close it and I walk away. Whereas, you know, when I'm getting into working with paints and stuff like that, it can just turn into this explosion of mess, which is fun in a way, but then also, oh, I have to clean this all up. And so, you know, that's where my iPad just became such a easy and convenient way to do art, especially with the advances in the technology on the iPad. I can make things look watercolor without actually making a mess. Which is nice.
Right. It's nice having this technology to do this stuff. It opens so many more doors.
It really does. And like sometimes it surprises me, like, wow, that really does look watercolor, or wow, that's crazy.
I couldn't tell the difference.
I know, yeah.
What got you into doing art professionally?
So as mentioned, I was going to Alaska, and that was a few years, 2015 is when I first started going to Alaska, and I went for 4 summers. And I just was really drawing on the nature of Alaska. And my first summer up in Alaska, I was in a super remote location. And like, we didn't have cell phones, Wi-Fi, we had nothing. And I really had time to start doing more art and really like practicing and enjoying it. And that's kind of what got like projected my art. And then the next year, I was working in southern Alaska on an island, and I remember sitting in the little crew room that we had, and I was browsing on Etsy for stickers because I wanted like a cool Alaska sticker, and I hadn't really seen any, and I was like, oh man, I want a sticker for my water bottle, and I couldn't really find any. And then I look over and I see my iPad, it's charging, and I go, like, it was like a light bulb, like literally like a light bulb moment of like, oh, I can draw something on my iPad and get it printed as a sticker. So I was like, I'm gonna make my own sticker. And so my first sticker was just go outside and play. That's all it said. It was really simple. I just lettered it and it was cute. And I ordered like 100 of them, and they get to the island, planes, trains, and automobiles to get there. And it just like everyone wanted one, you know, all my coworkers, kayak guides, guides in town. And that just kind of took off. And that's how it kind of became a business for me. And that's when the birth of the Doodling Nomad began.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And how did you come up with what inspired the name, the Doodling Nomad?
So the Doodling Nomad is actually a fairly new name. I recently rebranded. It was Wild and Free Sticker Co. And it just kind of wasn't really resonating with that name. The Wild and Free, you know, because it was born in the wilds of Alaska. And I kind of like this wild and free theme, especially since all my stickers kind of have that wild theme about them. And it just wasn't really resonating with me. And a few months back, I was just kind of trying to figure out, because then I didn't want to be pinpointed into stickers if ever I wanted to not do stickers. And I was kind of like, what do I want here? And I came up with the Doodling Nomad. It just kind of one of those things, light bulb just came to me. I was sitting there trying to figure out a name, and I had been living in a 1971 Nomad camper for a little bit, and that's kind of what I guess spawned that. I was like, Nomad, oh, I'm in a Nomad camper. And I was traveling around and I was going back and forth from Alaska, you know, and kind of not really staying in one place too long. I've always kind of had that, I like to wander around a little bit. And yeah, it just kind of stuck. I and doodling. I've always considered my art doodles. I know I'm not trying to be Picasso or anything. I just, they're doodles. And so it just kind of worked for me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
How everything came together in your aha moment. And
yeah.
The aha moment with the name. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
What techniques do you like to use with your art?
Well, so a lot of my art, when I first started doing art, a lot of my art was based around calligraphy and lettering. Mm. And so that's, you see a lot of that in my art. I'll do a lot of the own lettering. Sometimes I use fonts here and there if I want like a little bit cleaner or crisp look, but that's kind of the style that a lot of my art revolves around, is this kind of almost cartoony and lettering, calligraphy. There's kind of a mix of all that in there.
Nice. So how did you set up your art business?
So that kind of, I started, of course, in Alaska selling stickers there. And how that business kind of started up was I was literally going to bars on my days off and taking stickers with me and selling stickers in bars. Or,
that's really cool.
Or if I went somewhere to eat, I was taking my stickers and I was putting it in the little fold with like tips and stuff. I was like putting stickers and with my information. And I seriously would just like show up to a bar and get a beer and then just like put my stickers on the table. And it was like such a small community there. I was in Seward, Alaska, which it's a very seasonal place. There's only like 3,000 people that live there year round. But in the summertime, it's like 30,000. So it's like booming in the summertime with just seasonal workers. And everyone's, you know, like-minded. They love adventure. They love outdoors. They're obviously there for a reason. They're all my general age group. And so it was easy to walk into a bar and see 30 people that are my age and my interests. And yeah, it just kind of, that's how it started, where I was actually excelling. And from there, I opened an Etsy. And I was on Etsy for a few years. I recently closed my Etsy.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I was just like walking around bars selling stickers.
I love it.
It was so silly, but I sold stickers, like it worked, you know? And
I've never heard of that before, and I love it.
Yeah. And it was just, of course, so perfect for Alaska, right? Because they're just like so laid back there. No one, you know, it's like the bartenders are people you see all the time, the people walking around, or your server at the restaurant, someone you saw all the time, or you worked with them because they got a side gig or whatever it may be. And it just exploded from there. It was great.
And you're on Alaska, so like you're saying, like the people who are going to be out there for the most part are already like, we're here, it's nature.
Yeah, like for the most part, it was just everyone that was that go outside and play, which was just that like flagship phrase that I had of that kind of set the tone for all of my stickers, of it's all about just going outside, play when however you play, whatever you do, you know,
your entire demographic is right there.
Yeah, totally.
When and where did you start selling at events and things?
So I started selling at events once I got back from Alaska. I was back in Vegas and I first did First Friday. And it was okay. I only had a few designs. I was kind of like, I didn't really have much direction. I think, so I only did that like a month or two and I stopped because I was kind of like overwhelmed by markets at the moment because I didn't really have a lot of stickers. I think I kind of jumped in a little too fast. And so from there though, the first market where now I've been doing markets since was Market in the Alley about a year and a half ago. And yeah, now I do all kinds of markets.
Yeah, I've seen you I met you at Market in the Alley.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw you at First Friday when we were vending that this month.
Yeah, and I've started doing First Friday again, and I love it. And now it's, you know, now that I have like my everything figured out, I'm like, oh, this is great. Okay.
Right, you had like a nice little setup right
there. Yeah, totally.
That was nice. What, do you only sell stickers? Are there other mediums that you sell your art on?
No, pretty much only stickers. You know, I've tried a few times doing like prints, or I did an enamel pin once, and people love stickers. And so, you know, I keep trying to like break away from stickers, and then like everything just brings me back to stickers. So, and it's not that I dislike that I just have stickers. I love stickers. They're so fun. And it's so fun for me to be able to, I can make a design today and I could have it a physical product in my hand in a week, you know? And right. that's such a fun thing for me to try new designs. And so it just kind of, yeah, I just stick with stickers for the most part.
Yeah, that's your niche.
Yeah, totally.
And it works very well for you. Yeah, so.
I love it.
Do you buy your products up front to sell, or is it made to order?
So I buy all my stickers up front. The only times I've done made to order would be custom work that I do. I've done custom work for all kinds of people, and where I design a custom sticker or whatever it may be and get them printed on that occasion. I don't really do much custom, but yeah.
And where do you get your stock from?
So I go through a company based out of California. They're called Vinyl Disorder. I love them. They're great. They're super high quality and consistent. And yeah, I had like a huge headache a few years ago with an online printer I was going from, where they sent me like thousands of dollars worth of stickers that were all ruined. And it was just like the most heartbreaking, horrible thing. Heartbreaking on one end, because I'm like, all this vinyl, what do I do with all this? I can't do anything with this. Like, I don't want to throw it away, but it's like thousands of stickers that I was just kind of like, I was so beaten down. I almost quit this whole thing. I was just like, I need to find a new sticker printer that I can rely on, because it was just awful. And they sent me like two batches of botched stickers. And
they wouldn't like replace or fix them, they, or refund you or anything?
They refunded me eventually, which was great. But it was just this like month-long headache of, and I was more concerned with the waste of how many stickers I was wasting. So I eventually just started giving away those ones in town, and people were sticking them on stuff because, you know, vinyl is plastic. But the perk is that a vinyl sticker is usually going on something that's not going into a landfill. Right? So it doesn't really matter that it's plastic necessarily.
It's got a long life. It's not like a single use thing.
Yeah, it's not a single use. It's got a lot of life, and really what it's going on is going to take long, like is going to be worse than whatever the sticker is. You know, if you're putting it on a car, well, your car's around forever. So, you know, so it's, but it was when I'm holding like thousands of stickers in my hand that I'm like, these aren't going to get stuck anywhere. These are just waste. You know, it was upsetting, but
they did get used eventually.
Yeah, I like handed them out as best I could, and yeah, it was, yeah, but so Vinyl Disorder, I've loved them. They're wonderful.
No, thank you for suggesting them to me when I asked a while back.
Yeah,
they're amazing.
Oh yeah, I know. And then, like, their online's a little difficult to like maneuver. I feel like it's not as easy as some sticker companies, but their stuff's always on point. I'll wait the extra week it might take to go through them. They've always, you know, been really kind to me over the years. And
their customer service was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They replied to me very fast, mm-hmm. and they were very helpful, mm-hmm. and I think they gave me a couple of discounts, and I was just like,
oh, yeah.
You guys are awesome. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they always are throwing in, like, free stickers.
Right,
and, like,
free shipping.
Yeah, or, like, I'll order only, like, 25, and I get 40, or I get 50, and it's like, cool. You
right.
know?
Like, so. I wanted to do a test print. They're just like, okay, just send us the shipping. I was just like, oh. I went to another place, and they're just like, yeah, you have to buy a minimum of 10, mm-hmm. and then pay the shipping to do your test print. I'm just like, mm-hmm. rude.
Yeah. Real rude.
How do you determine your pricing?
So that's just kind of, I used to, my stickers used to all be like all these random prices, right? Because it was like, well, that one's a big sticker, that one's a little sticker. And I got sick of dealing with that. And so I made all my stickers $4, which seemed to be the general price of stickers out in the world, especially a vinyl sticker. Mm-hmm. I know there are some that people try to sell for $5, $6 a vinyl sticker. But I felt $4 was a fair price, and, you know,
it covers the economics of you having to buy it up front.
Yeah.
Ship it if you pay for shipping.
Yeah, totally.
And then your time for your art.
Yeah.
Your time being there to sell it, or, you know, if you're selling through a website, you know, you got to go to the post office.
Yeah.
And pay for postage.
Exactly. Exactly. Because just that too, all my stickers, when they're purchased online, I have free shipping. because who wants to pay $2 in shipping for a $4 sticker?
Right.
Like, so that's also where I settled on that $4, because when I am doing that free shipping, it kind of just gives me some more bumper room so that, and while still staying at a fair price, you know?
Right. All the economics involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you get those people who want, like, free or reduced price art and commissions and stuff?
All the time. I'm sure every artist could say that all the time, especially since Pinterest exists. And, you know, that's really why I don't advertise that I do calligraphy or lettering, because I feel like that's one industry where people are constantly trying to lowball you. You know, I'll get people that go on Pinterest and they see these beautiful 8-foot chalkboards at weddings and they want this beautiful hand lettered chalkboard, and they come to me like, how much would you charge for this? And I tell them a price that they don't like, and I'm like, you have no idea how much time that takes from planning it out. My time, you know, I've done an 8-foot chalkboard before and it took me 12 hours.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it takes a lot of time,
right,
to make it look nice, and you're planning out the board and everything, and someone's like, what? I only want to give you $20. Would you ever offer an employee $20 for 12 hours of work?
No. And then if you tried to, that employee would walk out.
Yeah, they would leave, right? And so it's like, that was like the hardest thing with doing calligraphy and lettering, was because also then there's so many fonts now that exist that look so similar to what anyone can calligraphy. You know, hand-done calligraphy is a nice touch, but it is not for empty wallets. And I think a lot of people, and I don't mean that in a, you know, mean way or anything like that. It's just, I think people don't understand the time that those projects take.
And not just the time, like the actual energy, because it can be like, you think someone's sitting there drawing is, they're just chilling. Like, no, like, you know what brain power it takes, how frustrating it can be. And then you have this person that's asking, like, hey, can I get a, you know, friend discount?
Or, yeah.
And sometimes we give friend discounts.
Totally. And sometimes I weigh in, you know, like, say it's a really big company and it could give me a lot of exposure. You know, okay, I kind of weigh that into my pricing, you know, if I think that it would get them to use me. But it can be difficult. It's like this.
It's a balancing game.
It's a balancing game of, you know, I don't want to overcharge and, you know.
But you gotta.
But I don't want to undercharge either, because these things take a lot of. And as I've learned over the years, like, it really, like you said, it takes so much brain power, especially when I'm doing work for someone else, because I'm not only in my brain, I'm trying to get into their brain. So it's almost like I'm in this, like, battle of my brain, their brain, and trying to, like, find that connection of, okay, what do you want? What can I do? How can we bring this together? And it can be difficult.
How much do you usually charge for commissions if you do them?
It depends. Prices all start around $50, but it kind of depends. It's one of those things I fill out. You know, if someone comes to me and they're like, oh, I really, like, just the other day, this woman, she has her little baby, and she had doodled, kind of sketched out this baby shower, or not baby shower, first birthday invite that she wanted. And I kind of look at it, I'm like, okay, that would, you know, probably take me an hour or two if I'm just watching TV and hanging out. And I gave her just like, just give me $20, you know? Because I could tell, like, she wasn't someone that was going to want to pay what I probably normally would charge. But it was one of those, like, you know, I'm so willing to help people out when, you know, if it's kind of right timing, you know, if it's, I've got the time right now and I see where you're going with this project, cool. But if it's like, I don't have the time right now and you don't have a clear vision of what you want out of your project, like, it might be a little hard to find that, like, balance and connection, you
right.
know? But yeah, you know, especially since I'm still new, I'm not this crazy professional. I didn't go to, you know, graphic design school or anything. I try to keep my prices generally fair, and yeah.
But so otherwise, like, case by case?
Yeah, case by case, but my general rule of thumb is, like, $50 is my minimum.
And, I mean, that's pretty reasonable, especially if you're spending a couple hours of time.
Yeah, yeah, because usually there's not many projects that take me only an hour or two. If I can look at it and say, that'll take me an hour or two, then I'd be a little more flexible. But if I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, that's going to take me 4 or 5, okay, it's going to, you know, then it kind of starts to be like, okay, then we're going to hit the minimum, you know?
And if you were charging, you know, paying yourself minimum wage, that's plus a tip.
Yeah, exactly.
It comes out about right.
Exactly.
So how do you market yourself? Besides, like you said, you gave out those stickers that ended up being a botch, or putting them in your the book when you go to the restaurant and everything.
Basically, I just social media. I try to be better at social media. It's so hard sometimes, especially now that I'm older. I feel like when I was younger, like social media was like my life, right? Like everything. It was so easy to like keep up with social media
and
like
navigate it super
easily. Yeah, and lately I'm just like, oh, I don't have the time. Like even to post a post sometimes can be difficult.
Have you thought about doing scheduled posts?
Yeah, you know, I've looked into that, and it's an effort thing. I still haven't wanted to make the effort, but that's primarily how I'll market, is through social media or at markets or events that I do. You know, I'm always handing out little info cards about me and kind of get to know the artist and stuff like that. So, because I think a lot of times people don't realize when they buy a sticker from me that it's me. Like, this isn't, like, I did all these designs. This is all my work.
You're not selling someone else's art for them.
Yeah, I didn't bring in any other artists. I have one or two stickers that other artists we collaborated on, but the other 70 stickers are all my designs. And so that's something where, you know, in the little baggie I give people, it's, you know, a little paper baggie, and it's got my logo on it. And
I love your whole setup with everything.
Thank you. And so I have like a little insert in there that talks about like me and the artist. And I've had people after the fact message me on Instagram and go, whoa, I didn't know that was you. Like, this is all you? Like, yeah, this is just, I'm just doing my thing. But you know, I'm trying to get better at that, because I can also be, I don't know if timid or shy, what the right word is there, but
mildly introverted.
Yeah, I'm pretty introverted at times, and so I'm not very good at like putting myself out there necessarily and being like, look at all my art. And so that's why people don't really always know it's my art, because I don't want to be that person that's like, look at my art.
Right, you're not like at the market being like, hey, get yourself some stickers over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling like, people over and doing like the whole like salesperson spiel.
Totally, like I am so not a salesperson at all. I'm kind of like, you either want it or you don't. I'm not going to make you want it, and I'm not going to try and smooze you and tell you all these things. If you don't want the product, you don't want the product.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I've been trying to find like the best way to market myself as this kind of introverted person that doesn't really like having a lot of outside conversations, and, you know, but it seems to be working, whatever I'm doing. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. No, I feel like that. I'm otherwise a very introverted person myself, so doing this has gotten me way out of my comfort zone from where I was like a year and a half ago. So
yeah, that's the same thing with selling my stickers and stuff like that and going to markets. It's helped kind of bring me a little bit out of that like shell, but still, like, once I get back from a market, like, it's like
decompression time.
Like, when it's holiday season and I'm doing like 2 markets a week and stuff, by the end of it, everyone around me is just like, you need some alone time. Like, because I'll just get like so just like overwhelmed with just like constant. And so that's kind of also where I'm trying to find balance with not being all like having moments where it's like I'm overworking myself and over extroverting myself, and, you know, a balance. Everything's a balance.
Is this your full-time job at this point?
Yep. So I started doing this full-time last October.
You're living the dream, man.
Yes. I am seriously living my 8-year-old dream, because I remember when I was 10, I made this little a time capsule thing. And it was, you know, filled with things I love, right? And I opened it 10 years later. And one of those things was me saying that I wanted to be an artist when I grew up. It said writer/artist, because I do enjoy writing as well, but I don't ever want to pursue that in a professional way. I love writing for personal gain, I guess.
Like journaling or something?
Yeah, just journaling, or I'll write poetry. I just kind of, but it's all a very, like, personal expression for me. So I don't generally put it out there. Friends and family have read poems that I've written and stuff like that, but I more so love the doodling aspect of my creativity. And so I opened this time capsule when I'm 20, and it said, you know, I'm gonna be an artist. And here I am now, 31, so 10 years later, or 11 years, but doing it full time.
Yay!
Yep, it's so fun. It's crazy. And sometimes I'm like, this is real? Like,
that's so inspiring.
Yeah, like, oh, I get to wake up today. What am I doing today?
Art.
Like, I get to do art. And that's a lot of reason why, too, honestly, why I will turn down commission work. I'm someone who kind of only really, the enjoyment of art comes from my own self-creation. And sometimes when I'm doing commission work, it can feel a lot like work. And I don't like work.
See, I've been seeing a lot of memes have been talking about how the way, like, capitalism has, like, affected us. Uh-huh. In the sense that it's just like, if you're doing something you love, like writing or art or whatever, and you're not getting paid for it, we have this, like, feeling of guilt, like, yeah, I'm not being productive. And it's just, yeah, like, you're being as productive as a human being was otherwise originally meant to be, I think.
Yeah.
All the potential that we could be doing,
yeah,
or all the potential that we have to be doing things.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're more so meant to be creating things than, you know, standing at a register,
yeah,
all day, or, you know, being on the phone in a call center, you know, whatever,
yeah, exactly,
you know, 9-to-5 thing.
Totally. And, you know, it's funny because just 5 years ago, I was working in a law office. 6 years ago, I was working in a law office as a paralegal, and it's so crazy to think back, like, who was that? Like, I don't know who that person was, but she was not happy, and she was always just doodling at her desk. We'd be in meetings, and I'd just be, like, doodling. I had doodles all over my desk, and people just thought I was weird, and I was just, like, this weird kid, but but here I am now, and, like, this is, like, my full-time job.
And you look, and, like, I could feel, like, your happiness at what you're doing and talking about it.
Yeah, it's
the
just
energy.
It blows me away sometimes that, yeah, I just get to do this. This is cool.
It's beautiful. How often do you do, like, the markets and pop-ups and everything?
So right now, I've kind of, after this last holiday season that was, like, bonkers of doing, like, way too many markets, I'm pretty much now leveling out where I'm just doing First Friday and Market in the Alley. And then I do a market in St. George once a month.
Oh, cool.
I just kind of keep it close to home. I'm, you know, I, for a while, was traveling to California too to do markets, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, oh God, in California traffic and all that, and, you know, hotels are expensive there, and it was just kind of like I was starting to find that I was not enjoying it,
right,
as much.
And that should be what is one of the most important things.
And that's the whole reason why I started doing this. That's why I went full time, is because I wanted to enjoy this. I want to enjoy my life. I want to be doing and having fun. And so, yeah, so now I pretty much am doing about those two markets, and every now and then I might sprinkle in another one. But kind of definitely those two are just always on my.
And those are two really good ones to go to. They get,
yeah,
they get a lot of foot traffic there.
Yeah, they get a good crowd, and I've just had so many great experiences, even at both. I mean, I've only been back at First Friday for 2 months now, and I have just met so many awesome people from doing that one. And Market in the Alley has, I mean, brought me so much opportunity and just grown. I mean, yeah, it's doing those two have just been so solid for me that it's like, why break something that's not, or why fix something that's not broken?
Right.
Just those two work.
And the demographics that go to both of those markets
are right up, yeah, right up my alley.
Do you, Do you ever, or have you ever done like art in the park out in Boulder City?
I haven't. I really wanted to do that one last year, but it was my brother's wedding that day. So my brother won the battle.
Understandable.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I need to put it on my little radar though to follow up for whenever the next one is.
I think the deadline for it is usually in April.
Okay.
I've looked at it in the past.
Because they have a spring one and a fall one?
Do they have a spring one?
Or is April the deadline for October?
April is the deadline to apply for October. If I remember correctly, they may have changed it. One year it was April and another year it was like June or something. So I don't know if they change it every year or if it's...
I'll have to look into that then if it has like such an early before the event.
I mean, it's a big event that they have to plan, so
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, you've been to Art in the Park, right?
Yeah. My mom used to go there all the time, and she was always, she's a very creative woman as well, and she would make things and sell them there. And
me and my boyfriend, like, go every year. It's, like, our tradition.
Yeah.
And, like, I went there one year when I was working on like paintings and everything. I was just like, what could I do with these?
Yeah.
And I went there and I saw all the different people who had like their photo prints and everything with, you know, the little frame. So I was like asking them just like, where do you do your prints at? What do you use for the thing? And it was this mat board and you know, how do you do what you do?
Yeah.
And just write little notes down and then finally got, you know, my stuff together to start doing that myself.
Yeah.
That's always been, like, one of my goals is, like, Art in the Park.
Yeah.
One day.
That's awesome. That's a great, yeah. I really want to do Art in the Park next year. I really was so bummed that I couldn't do it this last time just because I was like, Art in the Park, oh my gosh, I want to do that. I, you know, used to go as a kid. And so hopefully this year.
2020 will be here.
20.
let's see. What have you learned or experienced through selling your art?
So much about myself, I guess. I've, you know, it's kind of helped me correct my own life in ways that I didn't really think. You know, I quit drinking alcohol like about a year ago. And it was kind of from my art that kind of even helped me see, because I was just doing my art and I loved my business. And it was kind of something where I felt that, you know, when I was partying or whatever, I wasn't really on my A game with art. And it was kind of this seeing how it was almost affecting something I love more than myself to help me see that I love myself. And that this was something that just like took away from love. It really just wasn't giving me anything. Like, what is this beverage giving me? Nothing. It's only taking away things. It's taking away my energy. It's taking away my creativity. It's taking away my time. You know, I'm getting behind on orders because I'm laying here hungover and eating pizza. And it was just kind of like, that's like the biggest thing that selling my art and like going in this small business, whatever direction has helped me auto-correct my own life of here's where I can be happiest.
Right. Yeah. No, a lot of what you just said reminds me of what like Rosemary from the Lots of Love Club was talking about how like, you know, loving yourself, loving others, loving the world around you.
Yeah.
But like you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
And you need to have that love for yourself if you're going to be able to, you know, share love with anybody or anything else.
Totally. I mean, in my whole life has been this journey to self-love.
It's a constant thing.
It's a constant thing, and it's not easy. And there's little things here and there you learn about yourself as you go. But
you got to have a lot of forgiveness for yourself and not, totally, you know, hold yourself back or, you know, kick yourself in the butt constantly for something that happened, you know, forever ago.
Yeah. And really with just my art, it's just been this way for me to see, like, I have value. I have talent. I have abilities. I have power to have an idea in my head and draw it.
And share it with
and
the world.
Share it. And then all of a sudden I see it on a car in a random parking lot, you know? And so it's like, that's just been like the coolest thing to kind of see how it's, you know, I was seriously in a random parking lot a while back and I see my sticker on the car. Of course I took a picture because I'm just like, that is so cool. And then I think about it just how like, and that design is now on that person's car. And it started in my mind on a sketch and then, you know, on my iPad and then print it and sell it. And somehow I encountered this person and now I'm encountering them again randomly because we encountered each other at some point because I have it. And so it's just like this like really cool cycle, you know?
Oh, it's like the circle of life.
Yeah.
The art. I love it. Oh, yay. Do you have any other outlets of self-expression?
I pretty much kind of take the approach of, I'll restart that sentence. So like last year when I decided I wasn't going to drink anymore and all this, I like had this moment of, I'm going to create a beautiful life. And so I kind of like put my art into everything I do. You know, like right now I'm about to be moving into a house and like, that's a little creative expression for me. I'm like designing my room. I'm like on my iPad, like, okay, doing the layout and I'm like drawing, here's where the bed will go. Here's where this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to, you know, I even did my own art for my room. Like I'm always doing art in some way, shape or form. You know, and so that's kind of my, yeah, that's, I have so many expressions of art. You know, if you walk into my room, you'd be like, oh, yep, this is your room. Like, you know, I'm just always trying to use my creativity in every way I can.
Yeah. I guess the next question is kind of like already answered, but what we can expand on if you want. You mentioned about how you quit drinking so that you could, you know, be more, you know, purposeful and involved with your art. And that is overall has like an impact on like mental and emotional health. So I wanted to ask like what your take is on art's impact on that.
Yeah, I think art can be such an important tool for people to use. You know, if like for me, it helped me see my value. It helped me like see like I have these abilities to think of something and make a tangible object, you know? And I think that's can be such a powerful thing for people to understand about themselves, you know, and can really help in so many ways with mental health, emotional health.
It's a great tool to help people with like depression and anxiety, PTSD, all sorts of different things.
Totally, you know, like I'm someone that has anxiety and it's, you know, oftentimes when I'm feeling anxiety, I'll just like kind of turn to my iPad and kind of doodle something or, you know, it just kind of helps. It's something that can be calming. And again, it goes back to what is art? Art is everything. Art has no defined lines. So oftentimes when I feel like you're dealing with depression, anxiety, and things like that, life can seem to have some defined lines that are hard and it makes things difficult. And when you introduce art, you can see that there's like so much out there
and there's
endless possibilities. And just because you may suffer from mental health issues, that doesn't mean that that's like the definition of your life.
Right.
And there's other ways to like really open up your life and not be, you know, so, cause I know that was one thing for me whenever I was going through depression or anxiety, it was like, so suddenly life seemed to be like so closed in and like, I saw no possibilities. I saw nothing. And so with my art, it's just like, every time I do a new piece, it's almost like I'm like opening up a new little door of like, oh, art can look like this. Art can be that. And, yeah, it can just have such a huge impact for people.
And it gives you, you know, a sense of, you know, purpose and fulfillment as well.
Yeah, which is huge, which, you know, I saw a quote the other day that was saying, it's not about fixing your problems. It's about filling your life with so many good things that your problems not disappear, but you start to fill your life with so many good things that it kind of helps ease those maybe negative aspects of your life.
It minimizes the stress that you're feeling from those things that are hard in your life.
Yeah, you know, and that was kind of my approach of, okay, well, I don't know how to stop myself from being unhappy, but I do know that when I'm doing this, when I'm doing art or whatever, I feel relaxed. I feel better. Okay, so let's just start doing more of that and see where that leads us.
It's like when those like adult coloring books started getting really, really popular, and they started like doing studies on how it affected people. Mm-hmm. They found out that it turned into like a form of meditation for people, and it was really therapeutic for people. Because especially for people who consider themselves, I'm not an artist, and so they weren't otherwise expressing themselves. They were finally finding an outlet to express themselves, and they were all of a sudden like, whoa.
Yeah, like, oh, I can do this. And that's where it's like, you know, when anyone tells me they're not an artist, I'm like, you are. Just figure out what works for you.
Yeah, what is your form of art?
Yeah, don't think of everything as you have to, like, create something from scratch.
Right.
You know, it's like those coloring books, like, even coloring those and, you know, just giving yourself some kind of outlet that's not, that's for you, you know, that's not for anyone else.
Yeah.
That's for you.
It starts making all these little connections and everything in your brain that, you know, maybe you weren't making those connections before.
Yep, definitely.
I had the opportunity to go to the Art You Okay event that they had last September for Suicide Prevention Month like City of Las Vegas and a couple other groups put on. And it was like hashtag Art You Okay. Mm-hmm. And the concept was kind of like, formed from the hashtag Are You Okay, which is the idea like of asking people like are you okay? Let's you know, let's talk about this depression. Like, are you, you know, feeling like if you have someone in your life that you know that you can see that, you know, you think they're going towards, you know, maybe being suicidal, like talk to them, sort of thing. So they were playing on that, but with art and how art and self-expression can help with mental health and help fight, you know, suicide, basically. So I got to go to that, and I got to meet so many amazing different groups and people. That's how I met Christian Everett from Gears for Life. He also works for the Nevada Coalition of Suicide Prevention. And I got to do, you know, a pod with him on his own organization that he has that works with suicide prevention. I got to meet Corey from First Friday. I got to meet all of these amazing people, and they all work together, and they all work, you know, to do all these different things and you know, bring forth this. You know, they came together to do this really big, beautiful event. They had, you know, people who were, you know, doing poetry and singing and dancing, and, you know, there was art everywhere, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I recently did an art piece that said, it says freedom starts in the mind. And that's kind of where art can come in, of like this, it helps expand your mind a little bit, and kind of see, you can see that there's so much out there. And life isn't this just like straight line, and you know,
it's not cookie cutter.
You don't have to wake up every day and go to work 8 to 5, work Monday through Friday. You don't have to. Like, you don't. And if anyone tells me they have to, I'm like, you don't. I'm sorry. Like, there is no argument out there. Even if you have kids and all these responsibilities, there are ways to have a better life. A life that you wake up and love.
It might not happen immediately, but if you start taking steps towards that, you can break out of that cycle that, you know, society has pushed on us. That
100%.
If your whole, what defines you, what gives you purpose is what job you have. And that's a lie.
Yeah, you know, and going back to when I worked at the law office, one instance just stands out in my mind so much as to why I quit there and started going to Alaska. It was a beautiful sunny day in Las Vegas. It was early spring, so that the weather was perfect. It was one of those days that, like, you just want to be outside.
Nature is calling you.
Yes. And so I remember I just went outside just to, like, be outside for a few minutes. It was such a beautiful day. And the attorney I worked for at the time was like, "What are you doing out there? You have work to do." And I was like, "But it's really, really nice outside. It's beautiful outside.
Like, can I do my work outside?"
Yeah, and I just kind of got harped on for going outside for a few minutes. And
like, are you not allowed a break?
Yeah, and it was, like, so bothersome to me. And, you know, when other people take breaks all the time for various things. And I was just kind of like, I don't want to work here anymore. Done. And I was on a path where I could have become an attorney. My attorney loved me. She was a great attorney to work for. But, you know, I was kind of like, but I can't go outside when it's sunny.
And that was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
It really was. It just became this like aha moment of,
What am I doing?
And so, I quit that job. I was nannying for a little bit. And then the family I nannied for left, and I was at this crossroads of, what do I want to do? And I kept thinking of this moment in the law office of, I wanted to be in the sun. And so what do I do? Because I just like dramatic changes, is I go on this website, coolworks.com, and I find this job in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, northern Alaska. I show up in yoga pants and flip-flops, just like city girl. Like, I mean, I've done outdoor stuff my whole life, but it was just, Alaska's a whole different kind of outdoors. Like, it's a whole other ballgame. And I show up, I drove up with a friend, and we show up in Alaska, and I'm just like, yeah, it was...
a bit of a culture shock, basically.
Yeah, culture shock, but it was, yeah, just that making a change, because I wanted change in my life. I didn't want to be doing this job where I couldn't go outside if it was sunny. Like, it was such a simple thing, but it had such this, like, impact on me that, but I want to go outside. And so I made those steps to, like, make a change. And I was at a point in my life, too. I had no real commitments. I could make an immediate drastic change. And I'm kind of a big fan of drastic changes. I think that if you're feeling stuck in life, do something drastic.
Right.
Not, like, in a bad way. Not in a harming way or anything like that, but...
Take chances. Yeah. Get messy.
Yeah, exactly. The classic thing. But it's so true. Like
Miss Frizzle.
Yeah. Whenever anyone says that they feel stuck, it's like, you're not.
Unstuck yourself.
Yep.
Pick your feet up.
Yep. There are so many things that you could go do. Yeah, you're going to get a little out of your comfort zone. Was I way out of my comfort zone spending 8 days to drive to Alaska and then get dropped off in the middle of nowhere with no Wi-Fi, no cell phone, nothing. I knew no one.
That's like peak out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that was like, I was peak out of my comfort zone. I fell in the fire my first day there. I like tripped over a log and I burned my leg.
Oh no.
I got like 1,000 mosquito bites. Like I was so out of my element. I had no idea what Alaska even meant. Like it was never on my radar before I did this. Like it wasn't somewhere I wanted to go. I was so ignorant. I thought like igloos were still a thing. Like I was just like, Alaska was not on my radar. And sure enough, it became this like massive life-changing event for me because I just like took this chance to like make a change. I didn't want my life to be this 8-to-5 same thing. So... yeah, sometimes that's all you got to do is just take a chance. There's so many things that you can do in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear about how you broke the cycle. It's just,
yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. I just
it's doable.
It is.
But you got to want it.
You've got to want it, and you've got to realize that it's not going to be easy. It was not easy all the time. You know, I had some of the most like depressive states when I was in Alaska, and but it's now that I'm out of it, and it's like, the things I learned about myself, about what I wanted in life, about where I was going, about my art, about my business, everything. Like, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world because it was just, I made a huge change and I shifted from this Monday through Friday, 8-to-5, blah, 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 blah. I'm not doing any art. I wasn't, you know, I was that typical come home from work, you have some beers, you go out with friends, like that typical 20s lifestyle, I think, that you see in a city a lot. And I just...
There's more to life than
there's
that.
There's more to life than that. And, yeah, you just gotta do it.
You gotta go out and try things.
Totally.
And if it don't work, try something different.
Exactly.
Do you work with other artists, organizations, or other anybodies with any part of the process for any of your art, your business, or anything like that?
Pretty much just myself. I mean, and of course, Vinyl Disorder, who I get my stickers printed from. But I am the one and only.
So
yeah, I've had my boyfriend do a few designs. I've only got one of his designs that I sell as a sticker. And then I had a friend in Alaska. She's a wonderful watercolor artist. And she painted my Wild Wonder sticker. Her name's Kaylee Berry. She's an amazing artist. I don't even know if she's still doing art, but... she just painted these adorable little like postcard watercolor paintings. She would drive to somewhere in Alaska and just paint it. She was always just had her sketchbook, and I loved her paintings. They just like really captured like the color and beauty of nature. And so I have one of her designs that says we collaborated on. But other than that, it's 100% this lady.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What platforms can people follow you on or contact you?
So I'm on Instagram, at The Doodling Nomad. And then my website. I have my own website now. I branched off from Etsy a few months ago because they were refusing to change my name. And it was kind of frustrating as a small business. I'm like, come on, we change our names all the time. Like, right. It's a small business.
Well, sucks for them.
Yeah, I'm not like a massive corporation here, but Etsy stuck to their guns. They wouldn't change my name.
It would be such a big deal.
Yeah.
Like no one else had your name that you were trying to change it to, right?
No.
They
said it was going to cause confusion.
To who?
To people, to shoppers. And I said, my business is my own business to manage. Like, I will work on making sure there's no confusion. That's not your job.
Right.
Like, but they just dragged their heels and they said, nope, they're not going to change it. So I jumped off Etsy, and which is unfortunate because I had a pretty good following there and reviews and stuff that I just don't have anymore. But now I'm on my own website, www.thedoodlingnomad.com.
And that's like the primary place where people can buy stuff from you. Yep. Besides market pop-ups.
Yep, just thedoodlingnomad.com. I also have all kinds of information about my stockists, like stores that carry my stickers, info about my wholesale, info about pretty much anything you want to know, just thedoodlingnomad.com.
Cool. What are your current goals for your art?
Ooh, just to grow my wholesale. That's kind of the big one there. I'm trying to get into more stores. I've kind of been eyeing a few. I had this big idea the other day, and so I'm working on that one. But it's basically my biggest goal is to get into
a
chain store. Yeah, like a chain store, so where I can have like an REI. I'm not REI though, but kind of like that. Getting my stickers everywhere. You know, stickers are something that everyone loves, and there's something that, you know, I have learned, like, that's the thing. It's when people walk up to my stand, they say one of two things. They say, stickers! And they freak out, and they're like, get so excited. Or they say, I want all of them, you know?
Me.
Yeah. And so it's like, people love stickers, and I love making stickers and selling stickers, and so that's kind of my goal. My biggest goal is to try to get into more wholesale where I'm able to have my stickers everywhere.
You should look into some of like the local coffee shops out here that would like correlate with like your, you know, personal,
yeah,
like, you know, your standards and things. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe not like sell stickers and say like a Starbucks, but maybe Mothership Coffee.
Yeah. I know. I've got my stickers in the Tiny Bloom down at Ferguson's downtown. They've got some of my stickers. That's like the only place in Nevada that has them. I've got quite a few places up in Alaska, and some random places, other random places. But yeah, that's like my goal is global takeover with stickers.
Hey, that's one of the best ways you can do global takeover.
I know.
I love it. I always remember as a kid, you get stickers, you're just like, I don't want to commit to putting these on anything.
Yeah.
You just have those commitment issues with stickers and everything.
Oh, yeah. I've had people come and buy stickers from me, and they're like, I still have the stickers on my desk that I bought from you last month.
That's me.
They're like, I can't figure out where to put them. And I've had people tell me that they'll, like, have a cork board, and they just put them on a cork board. That's a clever idea, so that you're not, like, losing the sticker. I'm just someone that then ends up, like, hoarding, like, hydro flasks, or, like, I'm, like, saving cases from iPads and stuff and like covering them. I cover everything.
I wonder if there's a market out there for like pre-stickered things. You know, like you take your hydro flasks that are all stickered up that you're not using anymore. You just be like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, how many iPads do you have that are covered in stickers?
Yeah.
iPad cases.
Cases, maybe. Yeah. Like I've got one more other than this. But like this one's like totally full.
And that looks like really well like organized and put together.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely use some like artistic ability in deciding where to place all the stickers, so
yeah. There you go. Yeah. Who knows?
You amass enough of them.
Yeah.
You could just go to, like, a thrift store and just, like, buy, like, reusable water bottles. Yeah. Put, like, a couple stickers on them, and then boom. And then you're also supporting the thrift store, which is supporting the local community.
That is a smart idea. Hey,
there you go.
Hey.
So that's your ultimate goal, is to take over the world with domination of stickers? All right.
See, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And I know it is. I just, you know.
Five, 10 years, everywhere we look, there's going to be Save the Bees and
yep.
Get out.
Yeah, play. Because that's also one thing, you know, like my art, it's not just like, it has a purpose. Like a lot of my art, I'm trying to like bring awareness to something. And I used to actually donate to quite a few charities. Now I kind of, it's on a case by case as I'm trying to grow my business too. Like as a small business, it's kind of hard to like hand over 10% for various charities. But it's like my Save the Bees one's a great example of, I'm always trying to donate to, various charities, conservation and things like that. Yeah.
That's what I hope to be able to do through the website for my magazine at some point, is like work with different artists to make designs, like you said, with the focus to raise awareness for something.
Yeah.
And have a portion of that design go to like a specific thing. Like I came up with a design and had my sister draw it out, that raises awareness to how black-coated animals in the animal shelter, they're the most likely to be euthanized because black dogs are omens and black cats are super, you know, black cats,
the superstition,
bad luck. So, and plus also people view animals with black coats as, you know, just general like, oh, bad, you know, or not pretty enough or whatever they're
yeah, like it's not a golden dog, you know,
right,
that has
exactly
golden hair,
right. Precisely. And that's a statistic that's apparently like across the country that, you know, these animals are more likely to be put down. They're less looked at as like a actual adopting option for a lot of people. So I drew a design where it's a girl in like a black dress with, you know, a big black dog, black cat. And she, my sister added a little black rat in her hand, and it's going to say,
cute. That's a super cute idea.
It's going to say like black goes with everything.
Yeah.
And once that design is like fully finished, I want to, you know, put it on the site and, you know, like give a donation to like the Animal Foundation or something like that.
That's a great idea. Know? Yeah. You know, and I think that's where now I'm trying to, rather than like every single sticker has something that's getting donated to, I'm like just picking and choosing the ones. And
it's like you said, there's a balance.
Yeah. And you know, it's like I adopted a whale once. I still get updates on her. Her name's Coral. She lives over in Maine area. It's a humpback.
Oh, beautiful. And will you ever get the opportunity to meet her?
I don't know, but I adopted her because she's part of this, I'm drawing a blank on what the organization's, Whale and Dolphin Conservation, I think is just what it's called. But they have a program where you can adopt a whale for like $50, and you get like all these updates on this whale.
Is it like a one-time thing, or like you do like a monthly?
No, so it's just a one-time thing, and you can keep donating if you want to that specific whale. But this whale in particular like got attacked by some orcas, and the whales.
Is that normal for orcas to attack humpbacks, or is there like a problem with their availability of food that's leading them to do that?
Oh, so that's going to depend on the type of orca. So,
I'm sorry. We can have ignorance really quick.
No,
there's
great.
More than one type of orca.
Well, there's So you have transient orcas, resident orcas. There's a third kind, but I can't remember what their name is. But the biggest is the resident and the transients. So transients travel in really small pods. This is like such a tangent, but this is great. So I love
whales. I would love to do a whole pod at one point on whales if you have the information to give me.
I learned so much about orcas when I was in Alaska because I got to see orcas all the time. And so a transient, they travel in really small pods of 1, 2, they're kind of like the lone wolf of the orcas, right? And they'll attack anything, eat anything.
They're like opportunists.
Yeah, they're the seal-eating orcas, right? Then resident orcas, their diet, they travel in larger pods, 5, 6, often in super pods of up to 80, 100 orcas. And they eat fish. They're salmon, that stuff like that. And so that's where, so this humpback that was attacked by orcas, it was probably just a transient orca that attacked him. Most likely, I'm not sure. There could be so many other factors into that.
Right.
But yeah, there are orcas that will attack anything. They're hungry. They'll eat it. They don't care. And that's usually the transients. And transients, as the name suggests, they travel far. Their territories can span up to 2,000 miles, I think.
Oh, wow.
Whereas a resident, it's more like 500. They, like, stay in the same general area their whole life.
And here we have just whales and giant swimming pools.
Yeah, and orcas also speak all different languages.
Right.
So
I assume you watched Blackfish.
Yes.
That's when I learned about how, like, you take one orca from the San Diego mm-hmm. SeaWorld and bring it out to Florida. They can't just talk orca to mm-hmm. each other.
No, they all have different languages.
Oh my goodness.
And so that's where it becomes difficult of, like, places like SeaWorld rehabilitating their orcas back into the wild, because...
Do they do that? I thought they just...
They don't really.
I thought they captured them. They're not allowed to anymore.
They finally
put a law up on that.
And they can't breed them anymore either.
Right.
Which is awesome because that's just horrible. But they... I think they're, like, releasing them is, like, they...
It's like an ocean. There's like a cove
of an ocean, but it's, like, netted off. They can't really go fully into the wild because they won't know how to survive. They won't know how to eat. They won't know how to interact. They will immediately get killed by other orcas, even. Because this orca that's, you know, in SeaWorld, where did SeaWorld get it? Well, SeaWorld might have probably got it from Finland or somewhere.
Nova Scotia.
Yeah, and then it's stuck in the swimming pool for years, and so... So then that's also the issue at those places, is because all the orcas that are there generally aren't even from the same families.
It's a bunch of people at the UN, but no one has any translators or
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, how horrible that'd be, right? Like, a room full of people that no one speaks each other's languages. How do you communicate? You get really frustrated really fast.
Yeah.
And so that's the same thing with orcas, because they just have so... They can speak. Well,
they're a very complex species.
They really
are.
They're
not just, you know, some animal.
Yeah.
No animal is just some animal, you know, but like...
But orcas are known to have higher intelligence.
Yeah.
And which is just makes them so much more fascinating.
Right.
Of a creature.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to do a discussion on whales now.
Yeah. They're cool.
What do you wish you knew about when you first started that you know now?
Oh.
Like, looking back, what would you tell yourself, you know, a year ago, a couple years ago, or whenever? Because you had a couple, like, really awesome, like, aha moments where you didn't, like, otherwise need you to come back and tell yourself something, but...
I would honestly, though, like, say the biggest thing I wish maybe I would have... Maybe not been told or known, but just, like, accepted at the beginning was, like, just stick with stickers, you know?
Save the time and energy.
Save the time and energy. And, you know, because that's been, like, the biggest, like, energy. And just to, you know, sometimes when I show up at a market, I feel like a little fish in a big pond or whatever the phrase is. And... Because I just have this quaint little setup, and it's just my desk, and I've got my stickers, and, you know, and sometimes I get overwhelmed. I'll show up at a market, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm not going to do good. Like, this person's got, like, 5 tables and, like, racks and, like, you know, lights and bells and whistles, and I'm just sitting here like, it took me 5 minutes to set up.
Hey, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, I know, and I think I wish I would have accepted that sooner rather than think of it as almost an insecurity, just kind of like, this is awesome, my setup is like nothing. I can show up to
it's
a place.
Simple and...
Yeah, and appreciating the simpleness of it and the simplicity, not overcomplicating it.
Yeah, because there's the whole study on how, like, if you give people too many options, mm-hmm. They can't pick.
You
know? And it works out for you because you have, like, you know, the multi-sticker discounts that mm-hmm. you do. So if someone can't pick, they're like, oh, well, maybe I can pick 4.
Yeah.
5. Maybe let's do that.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think I would have wished I would have known earlier, just, like, keep it simple. You know, don't try and overcomplicate it. I've tried to overcomplicate my setup so many times, it's ridiculous, where I'm like, I'm gonna do this and this and this, and you know, and then it's always just, I stop doing it because it's a pain in the butt to like myself. It's just me carrying this stuff, like kind of appreciating the simplicity of just stickers.
What's your favorite, do you have your favorite design for yourself or design that's like most important to you?
Ooh. I don't know if I could really pick a favorite.
Okay. Pick three.
Oh, that.
If that helps.
I'd almost have to look at my stickers, to be honest, to, here, I'm going to pull it up real quick, actually. Like, yeah, because it's like so, sometimes I forget about stickers I have.
You said you had how many designs? 70
something? I've got about 70 something.
Wow.
I have like 65 active ones.
That's awesome.
But my Granny and Tillicum sticker will always be one of my favorites. That's the sticker. It's circular with the two orcas, and that one has a whole story behind it about orcas. It's
you said Tillicum? It's
yep.
Named after the Tillicum that was in SeaWorld?
Uh-huh, and it's also then Granny is the other orca depicted in it, and Granny was a wild orca, part of the J2 pod by Washington State. And she lived to be rumored about 102 years old.
I think I heard about her.
Yep, that's and she amazing. Had like, you know, I think now they've debated that she was actually more like 80. Regardless,
yeah, that's
it's
so
incredible.
Long.
She
yeah.
lived a very long life
like how,
as an orca.
How old is Tillicum still alive?
No, so
or Tillicum is dead now. I forgot.
Tillicum passed away the same week as Granny, and so that's why I made
Whoa.
The sticker was.
It's like kind of like showing
the contrast of wild versus captivity. And,
wow.
Tillicum lived to be 35.
Right, that's like a kid dying in their early...
Yeah.
In their 30s, as yeah. opposed to...
Because orcas have the exact same lifespan, just not exact same, but they have a very similar life cycle to humans. So, like, they are teenagers when, like, in the teenage years of their life. They are, you know, an orca's menopausal in her 50s and 60s.
Wow.
And so their lives very much mirror humans. And so I just, that contrast of those two orcas passing in the same week, I just thought was...
That's beautiful symbolism.
Yeah, and I don't really get to tell that story much because I've always tried to figure out a way to put that on the sticker, like I said, on the back, but it's like such a long story to tell sometimes.
Right.
But...
Maybe you can do, like, you have your card that, you know...
Yeah, kind of a little insert that I give with that
and
one.
You, like you said about, like, not doing a... like a charity thing for every single design. You don't have to do an explanation thing for everything.
Yeah.
But that one obviously has really significant importance to it.
Yeah. It's not just like two random orcas, you know, and because even in that design, so I have both the dorsal fins upright. Obviously, Granny's was upright, but Tillicum's was collapsed, which only happens when they're in captivity. Only less than 1% of orcas in the wild have a collapsed fin because it usually only happens due to stress, which when they're wild, they don't really have stress. So, but in captivity, all their dorsal fins are collapsed. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to think that their
that
fin looked
normal.
Like that. Like that.
So that's not very water dynamic.
Yeah, I was like, that kind of seems, that's a weird design of a body for an animal. But only when I was in Alaska and I remember I saw my first wild orca and I was like, whoa, that dorsal fin is huge. And I was like, blown away. And I was like, because their dorsals can be like 6 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyways, so that's obviously one of my favorites because I could tell a million stories about that one. And, you know, really every design, like
beautiful.
Every design just has like a special story to me. And like probably my favorites will be one of my earliest ones, you know, that just I created at a time that was important in my life at some point. And so it's kind of just it's hard to pick a favorite. I really love the recent one I did. It's not printed yet, but it will be available as a sticker in late February or March, and it was this one, the Freedom Starts in the Mind.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so that one, just because I think like that's really important for people to understand.
Like you gotta break those chains of your mind
yeah,
before
you, know,
you try to break the chains outside that, you know.
Yeah, because if you're unhappy sitting here in this room, you're going to be unhappy sitting in the happiest place in the world. Yeah. Like, your happiness, yes, I think your exterior situations can definitely lend to your moods and overall mental health, but a lot of it is just like your own mind that you have to overcome.
Yeah.
So I love that one that I've done recently. Like, I just look at it. I keep looking at it. It's my screensaver now on my phone because I'm like, I just love this one. This one's so cool.
It's beautiful.
But
you know, it'd be a really cool idea is if you did like a podcast series, like mm-hmm. your own, and each episode you talk about a design or a couple designs or something like that. And that way, like, you don't have to, you know, write out and print out something to go along with the thing. You can be like, hey, if you really like this design, check out my channel and hear me talk about what inspired it.
That is such a good idea for a podcast. I've been wanting to think of a cool idea. That is a great idea for a podcast, kind of diving more into, or even like what the sticker means, you know, and like diving into kind of that topic.
Right.
You know, this sticker is kind of about.
Yeah, like what you just told me about the whales.
The whales, like, and like diving into
that's
whales.
That's a beautiful story. We can go, yeah. You can do whatever you can think of with that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to jot that down on my handy dandy notebook. But
I'm amused sometimes. No, that's what I've been trying to do, is try to do my own like personal journey podcast where I talk about like how I got, you know, the idea for the organization, the magazine, and what steps I had to take, and all the different things that we've done, and where we want to go from there, and, you know, keep up on what we're doing now through that, and just talking about it. And it's also like it's a record of yourself, you know, what you were doing, what you were feeling, and everything at that moment in time.
Yeah, you know, and especially now that I'm, like, at this, like, it's not really an end goal, but, you know, like, now that I'm at this, like, I'm doing art full-time, right? And I look back on, like, the last 4 or 5 years, and, like, it's a kind of cool story that I even like to retell, because I'm just, like,
it's fun to hear about.
I went from, like, hating my life, like, hating it, and I was, you know, just, I thought existence sucked, and I was never really happy and never enjoyed anything, and to now, and like, I enjoy everything.
So you're a completely different person.
Yeah, it's just, and that's just been from my own recognition of, okay, I don't like life right now. How can we fix life? And like, but you know, it's not an overnight process, but just that whole...
It's like constant self-reflection and being like, what do I want to change? What do I want to become? How do I get there?
Yeah, and also, you know, using it to inspire others to do the same.
Exactly.
You know, and seeing that, like, literally, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
And you're being an example.
Yeah, like, anyone can, you can do anything. If you want to sell, like, balloons and, I don't know, you can do anything.
Make some biodegradable balloons.
There you go. Even better idea.
Balloons are really bad.
I only said balloons because for some reason that's like popped in my head as colorful, and it was like balloons. But you're right.
There's an opportunity there. Someone can figure out a way to make like it has to be really quick to break down, because even if you make something that's like, you know, compostable, if it takes too long to break down, it could still cause harm before then. Yeah. So it's like. Or like a water dissolvable balloon maybe or something. I don't know. Now I'm starting to think about
that balloons. That could be an interesting idea, right? Of finding some kind of material that's elastic, that has some kind of elastic. So you could use like a some kind of stretchy material.
If you could find a way to like make like say like plant cellulose stretchy, you know, and I guess edible, because the problem is that it'll like animals will eat it, and then it's rubber, so it makes them sick. But if it's like, if it was something that was consumable.
Edible balloons.
That's someone out there, please make these things.
Edible balloons, that actually, I think, could happen. I think that is a real possibility. I just
someone needs to get on it. Yeah, I don't do chemistry. Yeah. Like, I thought it was, like, I'd get the bite toothpaste bits instead of using tube toothpaste.
Oh, yeah.
And the initial one comes in the glass jar, but the refill comes in a cellulose bag. So the first time I got it, I was just like, oh, they said no plastic. And then, like, there's a card underneath that was just like, this is made from plants. And I'm just like, oh, cool. You can put it in your garden compost. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
All right. Are there any last comments that you would like to share with the audience or whatever?
Just touching on if you're not happy with your life and you want to do something different, do it. Shake it up. I'm fully a supporter of shaking up your life. And
draw outside the lines.
Yeah, draw outside the lines. If something's not working, figure out new ways. You know, however that may be, we're really lucky that we have the internet in these times. And you can use the internet for so much
good. We have this amazing tool. We should be utilizing it for something greater than just, oh, look at all these fire memes.
Yeah.
And those memes are fire. But
I mean, and if you're
make your own fire memes.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. You know, if memes are your passion, make the most fire memes that you possibly can. And that's just kind of my parting words, is to make a drastic change if you feel stuck.
Yeah.
Take a chance.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sitting with me and sharing all that. I enjoyed everything that you talked about.
Awesome.
That was fantastic.
Thank you all. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. This is fun.
And thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time. Bye.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to our Conversations with the Community podcast with Lauren the Doodling Nomad. We hope you enjoyed our discussion about how she turned her passion into a business by stepping out of her comfort zone and taking a chance with herself to find fulfillment in her life. And we hope you enjoyed and also gained something from our conversation on art in general and on doing what makes you happy. If you want to support Lauren and her art, please check her out in the links in the description below. We also invite you to join the conversation by leaving a comment about something we talked about in the podcast, whether it be about art and self-expression as a whole, managing an art business, taking risks, or anything else related. If you like what we do, please check us out and follow us on our various platforms to keep up to date on the things that we're doing and the content we're creating. And if you really want to get in motion with us and support what we're doing, please check out our Patreon community to see the benefits we offer our patrons. Subscribe to our $1 tier and get mentioned in our monthly thank you video. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, this has been Conversations with the Community. And please remember to always be kind and be the change.